All right, it's hard to get everybody out of the restaurant this morning, isn't it? So, but that's all right. Time to begin our worship service. Let's turn to number 44. Number 44, we're singing out of Heavenly Highway Hymns today. This song came to me as we were trying to prepare for our music today to follow the children's program. And what a blessed thought that it is. Victory in Jesus. Let's sing it.
Thank you.
99. Number 99. Thank you, Lord, for living.
Thank you, Brother Key. Thanks, everybody, for the really good singing this morning. You're all singing out really well this morning, and I'm thankful that you are this morning. And we are just glad to see each and every one here today. Appreciate everybody coming out. A lot of you came out earlier for the children's Christmas program, and it was really good this year. I think it's the best one that I've seen since I've been here. And the kids had their lines down pat. They acted it all out well. And I appreciate them doing such a great job. I want you to give them another hand, if you would. And I will say for the teachers and the grown-ups that helped them put it together, I'm thankful for you, too. It takes a lot of people to put on a church Christmas program. It takes the kids doing it, but it takes people taking hold of it and doing things as far as helping the kids learn their lines and coming up with the right program. And just so that the kids can learn about Jesus is the real intention of the entire matter. And I'm thankful that they had that opportunity today. It's, for me, it's one of the most precious things that I had as a kid as far as a memory. not only in church, but in my school, we did a Christmas program every year. And I guess as little ones, and then when I say little ones, first and second graders, we got up there and we spelled out Christmas. And in the public school back then, you could talk about Jesus. And that was the purpose of it all. And then when we got up older, it was always a privilege to be one of the shepherds or one of the wise men. And if you was one of the pauper kids or one of the bigger or taller kids, you got to be Mary or Joseph one. And that was the thing to be. So the idea was, is we put together something that remains in my memory. And I pray that this program today will be something will be ingrained in the kids' memory. I know, but coming up to it, they was all like, I don't know if I can do it or not. There's always the nerves part, but they all did a great job. And I just want to commend them so much that they did a great job. The piano playing, I didn't know Landon could play a saxophone. He did a good job with it too. And it's something that we get to learn. I've seen kids come into churches with violins and play Christmas songs and do a great job. Anytime we can build up our children, it's a good thing for us to do. Every time we can cause them to love coming into the house of God, it's a great job for us to do. And that's what I want us to continue to do. Not just these little ones, but for every one of the ones that are coming up. You know, Brother Sam is still coming up. You pick on me, so I'll pick on you back. The idea is, though, is that we are still coming of age. And let's all cause each other to love serving God every day more. And let's try our best to show others how to love the Lord more and more. With that being said, we're thankful for everyone being here today. Glad to have our visitors today. We hope that you'll make yourselves right at home today in this service. We're going to skip the children's church today since they've already been out and in front of us today. We're going to go on with our service today, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But before I do that, I want everybody to know we are having lunch here today at the church. The church has catered it. We're going to have everything here. If you did not bring anything, don't worry about it. It's back there. Just come and eat and fellowship and love one another is what we want you to do today in this service. But I want you to keep that in mind for later. After our preaching service, then we'll go in to our meal time is what we'll do. But we want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We're thankful for each and every one being here. Everybody, what is your prayer request this morning? It's always good to be show our thanks. Somebody else got something on your heart to say this morning? Lord bless. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. We still have several that are sick. Some of the kids didn't get to perform today because of sickness. These bugs going around. I think we all know that. Sister Mona has had a rough week or so too. She's had she had pneumonia here a couple weeks ago, and now she's got some more problems too. So let's keep her in her prayers. She was a little better the other day, but let's continue to remember her in her prayers. Sister Nettie always needs our prayers too. I'm going to fail in mentioning somebody, so I just hope and pray that we'll try to remember all of our sick, whoever they might be, wherever they might be. Let's pray that the Lord will help them. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yeah. My son-in-law Luke's preaching in Kansas today, so remember him as he preaches, but as he travels back home. Somebody else? Go ahead.
My brother David is battling cancer.
Go ahead. let's do remember this. Somebody else. As you can tell, I'm a little bit hoarse today, so I need your prayers also. But I need prayers more for what God needs to come out of me, more so than my voice. I don't want it to distract you, but I do want you to pray that the Lord will help this message today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Brother Key, would you start a prayer, please?
We have a special guest today. I'm always asking these young people if they will to use their talents for the Lord. And today, our pastor's granddaughter is here as a visitor. Matter of fact, y'all stand. Folks may not know y'all. All right, and the other one is Hannah over at the piano. And she's going to play a piano solo for us this morning. Y'all be in prayer for Hannah. You know, I was thinking while she was playing that, how many of us as children sang that song and didn't think a word about it? I didn't think anything at all about it when I was just a little fella. But, you know, I can sing it now, and I get a real blessing out of it because I love Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? What a joy it is to feel that Spirit of God in just a song. But that's why the writers write the songs, or most of them do. I'm not saying every one of them do. I've talked to many that have a real experience in writing a gospel song. Let's sing a Christmas song this morning. Would you want to stand on this one? We've got a special coming right after this. Number 152, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh,
it's good to see everyone here this morning. I ask that you pray for us today, that we can say the things that the Lord would have us to today, and that this service will be for the honor and glory of God more than anything else today. And let's just be prayerful one for another today in this service, that we can all do what the Lord would have us to do in this service. And let's just be about God's business is what I want us to do. Does anybody have a testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? Over the past few weeks, and I'm not usually a preacher of occasion, but it seemed like it's turned out that I've been a preacher of occasion, but I've been preaching from the story of the birth of Christ a lot lately. And I had the thought right about Thanksgiving, and really what I thought about doing is trying to come up with a Bible study on the birth of Jesus. What we think we know and what we don't know is basically what I had thought about doing, and that may be for a later time, but when I started studying for it, it just all fell into place for Sundays and for everybody to hear. We're going to kind of recount a few things that we've talked about thus far and that the kids acted out this morning, but then we're going to bring in an extra element today is what we're going to try to do. You know the story. The very first thing that happened was Mary coming to see being seen by the angel, right? Actually, there was something that happened before that. Did you realize that? A lot of people forget about that there was a priest named Zacharias who was doing his job in the temple, and he was an old man, past the age of childbearing. And God said, sent an angel to him to tell him he and his wife were going to have a child. And we find that that came to pass. That while his wife Elizabeth was with child, Mary was told by the angel of the Lord that she was going to have a child, but not in the normal sense. The Holy Ghost was going to come over her, and she would become with child, not of a man, but of God. And thus it would be the Son of God. Well, the very first thing that Mary did, well, I need to back up and say one thing. The last thing the angel told her, says, your cousin, Elizabeth, is with child also. So she left Nazareth and traveled down into Judea. Most people do not realize how far that Mary traveled. I don't know if she was by herself. I doubt she was. But somebody in the family probably went with her, and she went in to see Zacharias and Elizabeth and to be with them while that she was until Elizabeth brought forth a child. When that Mary walked in that day, and you'll find this in verse 40, and we're starting our reading lesson here, and it says, and entering into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the sound, the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's going to stop our reading lesson there. Now the rest of the story is that Elizabeth knew who was in Mary's womb. Now I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought about how she knew? Well, it's obvious God told her, right, by the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit let her know just by the sound of the mother's voice. Now, I've wondered a lot of times, maybe God gave them a little bit more of a warning. Maybe kind of like Simeon was. They had that in the children's part of the play. Simeon himself, he'd been told by God that he would not die until that he would see the Christ salvation. Maybe Elizabeth did, but we don't have that record there. But the Spirit let her know that Jesus was near. Now, this message may, and y'all pray that the Lord will take hold of this message, and it'll be something that'll make a lot of sense today in his ears and in your ears, and especially unto those that are unsaved today. For Jesus came for a purpose. He came born of a virgin woman. We've talked about that a lot these days. Because that he was born of a virgin, he was different from all the other children that had ever been born. He was the second Adam, as the Bible tells us in the scriptures in Romans. He was that second Adam that came into the world. You see, Adam came into this world being created by God, not having sin. See, Jesus was born into this world, and he had no sin. Like us, when we are born into sin. Scripture tells us that Mary and Joseph, when that they brought Jesus forth to be brought into this world, they brought him forth into Bethlehem. But that wasn't the only purpose that Jesus was come into this world. Now we're going to 1 Peter and the second chapter, if you want to turn with us there. I ask that you pray for us today, that we can bring this message out clearly unto you today. The scripture says in verse 24 of 1 Peter in the second chapter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That scripture right there tells us the reason why Jesus came into this world. I want you to get that into your minds today. How that Jesus came into this world that we might be saved. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about Jesus in this time and that day and age. Many believe he was just a man. Many believe that he was a good man even. Many people believe that he was a man that managed to live a righteous life. But actually, he was the Son of God. And he being the Son of God was a precious thing in this world. Who in his own self bare our sins. I want you to think about a man that had no sin. He suffered nothing like you and I do with the temptations of life and then heeding to those sins, those temptations. You see, Jesus did suffer the temptations of life. He knew all of our temptations. He knew the desires of this world. When Satan came to Jesus, there, while he was in the wilderness, he said, you're hungry, just make bread if you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, it is by the word of God that man shall live. Then Satan took him up into a high pinnacle of the temple. And he said, just cast yourself down and that you'll just tempt God to take care of you. You see, many times today, individuals in this world suffer with many temptations of life, and they suffer with those problems in their lives. Many times people even tempt God in their lives to do things for them. God, I'll do this if you'll do that for me. That's trying to tempt God. But Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, is what he said. And then Satan himself took him up into a high place, and he showed him all things of the world, is what the scripture tells him. And it says, Satan himself said, I'll give you all of these things if you'll just fall down and worship me. Now, the world today would say, well, God owns it all, and Satan couldn't have given it to him. But my friends, Satan has given to the world all of the sins that are out here today. He is tempting them with the drugs and with the alcohol. He is tempting them with women and men and boys and girls. He is tempting them with money and other things that are out there today. And he has the ability to allow people to have these things, or at least they think they have these things, is what I should say. Actually, they do belong to God and him only. All of the world itself, the Bible tells us that it is his and his alone. But Satan causes us to think that we have the ability to have these things of ourselves. But the scripture said, when that he had tempted him in this manner, he said, the Bible says that you'll worship the Lord thy God and him only. Now, what this all comes down to is that I'm trying to let you realize, even though that you are a sinner in the eyes of God, Jesus came for a purpose. The purpose is, who is in his own self, bear our sins on his body, on the tree. On the tree is the part that we think about the other holiday that we celebrate Jesus. Easter Sunday is a time of resurrection. The few days before that, when Jesus died on the cross, he died there with a purpose. We often say about individuals today that they died for a cause. Maybe it's an officer or a fireman or a soldier that died in the place of duty. And they'll say they died for a cause. You see, the Heavenly Father sent his Son into this world to die for a cause. And what he did with that was, he said he would bear our sins on the tree. You see, the penalty of sin was death. That's what he told Adam. The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And that passed upon all of us, so someone had to die for your sin, is what he had to do. And he said that we, being dead in our sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. After that, we have trusted in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we find the scripture is telling us that we are to live a life unto righteousness, unto a righteous life in which that we should live. Now, my question or my thought today is coming back to us today. After that you are saved, and after that you know that you're born into the family of God, how can you have the ability to be like Elizabeth was in that day? Have you thought about the different witnesses that the birth of Jesus had? We talked the other day, a few Sundays ago, about the different prophecies that was made about Jesus and him coming into this world, and how that he fulfilled each one of them. I've talked about how that when that Simeon came in that day where Jesus was, and he said, I see the salvation of the Lord. And think about Elizabeth not even knowing what was about in Mary that day, but yet she knew that Jesus was there. and that the babe leaped in her womb. At just the sound of that, you think about all of these things are the witness that God has given unto us, in that we might know that he came into this world, but that he came for the purpose to die. Not just to be born, but to die for our sins, with our sins upon him, that we should be those witnesses unto him. Now, going on just a little bit further in the scripture, let's go to Titus, the third chapter, and I'll start with verse 3. And he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Any of you ever been foolish? I've been called foolish many times. But I want you to understand, when Paul wrote this, he was talking about himself. He included everybody else, but he was talking about himself. Now, Paul was a serious man. He was a serious religious man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, is what he was called. And the scripture says, "But I was a foolish man." I want you to understand today, there's many people out there today that do not believe who Jesus was. That's the song that the kids sung. I know who Jesus was. And Paul, when he was in his state of Pharisee, he was a foolish man not to recognize who Jesus was. He said, "We ourselves were sometimes foolish, but disobedient." Disobedient to what? Disobedient unto the calling of God. God calls every individual in the world to come to him. He calls them through his Spirit. His Spirit deals with individuals to bring them to the cross of Calvary. And if they'll come, they can find Jesus there. But if they're disobedient unto the call, you know what they'll do? The same thing Paul did. Jesus, when he appeared to him there on the road to Damascus, he said to him, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." The pricks are the Spirit dealing with your soul. That little bit of picking at it, you might say, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, showing you that you're a sinner, that you're disobedient unto him. But what Saul had done, or Paul had done, was he kicked at him. You know, like you'd have something that you didn't want near you, and you kick at it, trying to put it away. But being disobedient is turning away from the Lord. And he said, deceived. Many people today deceive themselves into thinking that being saved is just making a change in their lives. I talked with a lady years ago, and I asked her about her salvation, and she said, "I was on drugs really bad." She said, "I was with different men in different places." She said, "I was living a horrible life." And she said, "When somebody came to talk to me, I just turned my life around. I gave up the drugs. I gave up the men." She said, "I started going to church." I said, "Where'd you get saved at?" She said, "That's what I got." I said, "Lord, help in that circumstance." Many people think because they give up drinking, that's enough. Many people think because they gave up a particular sin, that's enough. That's deceiving yourselves. Many individuals will even go so far to say, "Well, I go to church every Sunday, thus I must be saved." Well, I joined a church. I was baptized in a church. I did all the good works in the church. But what did Jesus say in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew? He said, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in thy name. But he said, I'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, they had done a circumstance in which they had deceived themselves. He says here, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. We think about all the lusts of the world today. Paula made a comment on the way down here this morning. She'd heard that there was another murder at a certain place over here. And she said, it's getting bad these days. People killing one another. People just seemingly not thinking about life as it is. Just ready to kill someone in just a moment's notice is what they are. But I want you to understand that those are pleasures of life to them that they have in their mind. They may say, well, it's not a pleasure to them, but it was come from a lust that they had at that moment. It was a desire that they had in that moment. All most of the time we think about lust, it was some money that they had. We think about a lust, it was some desire that they had. But it's sometimes it is a desire that is one to take you away from God. But he says, and pleasures, living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. So many people today are in the shape where that they're hating one another. Well, I believe in this country today, we are divided so much today. People look at what color you are and they say, I hate that color. It doesn't matter if it's white or black. It goes both ways. It may be brown. It may be purple or pink. I don't know what color it is. But people have in mind that they hate someone just because of the way they look or the way they talk. But the fact of the matter is, I want you to know something today. I love you. I do. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from the other side of the tracks or this side of the tracks. As the old saying goes, I want you to know I love you today. And the best part about it is our God loves you more than ever more than I ever could. I want you to understand these things today. Because one time we were foolish, but he says, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. That's the next verse. You see what it was? When Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary, she knew her Savior was there. He was right there with us. I believe Elizabeth was done saved. She was. She'd already been born again. But the very fact of the matter of hearing that and that Holy Spirit letting her know what was there, the Holy God was there. Her Savior was there. Now, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I want you to think about this today. It's not about what you did. I want you. I'd ask anybody here today, did you do anything that God saved you? Did you do a good work? Huh? Think about it. Was it the very fact that you had, maybe you helped somebody at the time? No, it wasn't about that. Was it the fact that maybe you contributed somewhere? Oh, these things are good, isn't it? Maybe it was the fact that you thought that, well, I'm a pretty good feller. That was my thoughts when I was a kid. I was a pretty good boy. Now, surely the Lord would save me, surely because of that. But it wasn't about what my righteousness was. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah where it says, all of my righteousness is as a filthy rag. You see, what I do is like a filthy rag. You know what a filthy rag is good for? According to the next part of that verse, it's nothing worth more than to be cast into the fire. You see, what I've done, what I did, was nothing good in the eyes of God. You see, God's righteousness is far above all of us. And he said, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, he said it came through the washing of regeneration. In other words, the Holy Spirit coming in and washing that soul and making us know that we are saved, making us clean. And he said, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, not of ourselves, not of anything we've ever done, but it's all of the Lord himself. Now let me get these last two verses and I'll get ready to close, Brother Keith. He says, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what we're promised that we're going to have, is a hope of eternal life. And that comes through that Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he says we are justified by his grace. It's by grace, an unmerited favor. An unmerited favor that God didn't have to save me. He didn't have to save you. He looked at you and he thought about you. Yeah, you're a sinner. You don't deserve it. But when you trust in me and when you trust in Jesus, my son, and his work that he did there on the cross, when you fully give all of that sin to him, he'll save you because of his love and mercy and grace. Now, this is the purpose. This is the faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I'll ask you a quick question. What would have happened if Elizabeth had restrained? Oh, she felt that baby leap in her womb, and she knew that her Lord was right there close to her. What if she had restrained at that moment in time? You know, these verses right here are the only times that you hear of Elizabeth. It was right here, her statement. And then when John was being named, she said his name will be John. That's it. I want you to think about that for a second. How will people remember you? How will people remember you today? You know, everybody in the president, they're talking about it a lot with presidents right now. What will be their legacy? What will they leave behind? What will you leave behind? How will people remember you? Huh? Think about it now. How do we think about Jesus? What do we think about him and what he did? But let's turn it back to us today. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world now. He says, I am the light, but he said, you're the light of the world. Maybe that's where I need to stop at right there. And let you think, how will the Lord remember you? Or how will people remember you today? Brother Key, that's going to be my message. I know it's rambling. And it's not a Christmas sermon, but it's what the Lord wanted you to hear today. While we stand and sing, if you're here today and you know that you're not saved, it's a good time to seek the Lord. These altars are always open to those that wants to come and pray. But it's a good place to pray, but you do not have to be on these altars to pray. It'll be where you make your altar in your heart. That's where you need to pray. You can get saved in your seat, but if you say that that's where I'm going to get saved, guess what? The Lord will require you to go somewhere else, is what He'll do. While we stand and sing.
Number 261.